D-Mace Vingen and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen. Joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN, NFL analyst Tim. I've seen you all over TV today. I do have a question for you. You were on Get Up this morning, and you participated in a round of Good Idea, Bad Idea, which was one of my favorite segments from the show Animaniacs, for those of you out there who remember the show Animaniacs. And you were asked, should the Vikings re-sign Sam Darnold? Good idea or bad idea? And you said, good idea. And you explained your reasoning for that. My follow-up question is, I want to ask you about something that you brought up to us a few times, and it was the first I had heard of it. If the Vikings were to re-sign Sam Darnold, should the Titans look to acquire J.J. McCarthy, and what do you think it would cost to pry McCarthy out of Minnesota if they commit to Sam Darnold?
Yeah, so let's pretend they sign Sam Darnold. They will be committing starting quarterback money to Sam Darnold. At that point, you have to then look at J.J. McCarthy. I don't think he has a cap hit over like $5 or $7 million or whatever for the next 3 years. So, you know, it's not like signing Sam Darnold means that the Vikings can't afford to keep Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy. So the Vikings don't have to move him. You know, like for context, I want to say that Drew Lock made $5 million this past year as a backup quarterback. Like, you know, around $5 million for a quarterback is not, or a backup quarterback is not, you know, that's probably the market, is probably the best way I could say it. So saying all of that, yeah, you absolutely should call them. They don't have to move them. And so because they don't have to move him, like, what do I think the compensation would be? I think it may be a first rounder. Now, obviously, you know, where, because you're not going to get the fifth year option benefit, meaning, well, you would, but you really, you would only have, you know, the remaining 3 years of his rookie contract and then potentially the fifth year option. So, you know, the, his value a little bit as a first rounder is somewhat, you know, different. So I think the idea that it would be a, you know, a top five pick, I think that that would be unreasonable for the, if you're the Vikings. I think that if it was a middle of the round pick, I think that seems like it would make more sense. I think if it was a late round pick, then I think that a late first round pick, then I think that it would have to be something else along with it. And, you know, not just the 27th pick of the draft. Does that make sense?
Yes. So we've had a spirited conversation today about Derek Carr, who could be a salary cap casualty with the New Orleans Saints. We've gone through all of the scenarios that the Saints could go with Derek Carr. I like Derek Carr as a bridge quarterback if he's cut. I wouldn't trade for Derek Carr, but if he were cut and you could negotiate with him, I would seriously consider it. What do you make of Derek Carr as a quarterback today? He does have history with Brian Callahan. What do you think that fit would be like if that were to happen with Carr and the Titans?
I think it's a good fit because it's an offense that he's played well in the past. You know, I think that when you look at him, and I would agree with you from like the trade standpoint, like, you know, trading for him means you'd assume, you know, his contract, which, you know, while it's not brutal, it's also, you know, not super team friendly for a 33-year-old quarterback that, a team is moving on from, right? Like, where, what are his other landing spots? So I think your assessment of it is saying, like, yeah, hey, you cut him? Yeah, and then we can decide the route we want to go. You know, do we want to, you know, we're dealing with free agent quarterbacks, not something, you know, not somebody that we have to give up, you know, something to acquire. So that would definitely be the route that I would take. And then I would just say this, if we were to take the free agent quarterbacks, okay, so like, let's just assume that Darnold goes back to Minnesota, because I think that Sam Darnold at 28 years old, I believe he is, 27, 28 years old, like, I think he's the best free agent quarterback that's on the market, okay? And he's not a fit everywhere, but he's definitely a starting quarterback in the NFL and, you know, will command real starter money. So get out of, you know, that, and then assume that Russell Wilson goes back to Pittsburgh. So now you're kind of talking about, like, all right, Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, let's say they release Derek Carr. Derek Carr, like, you start ranking those guys. Well, like, Derek Carr is going to be at the top of that list, I think. Like, you know, maybe you could talk yourself into Justin Fields, mm-hmm. but most likely not. And so, yeah, I think it's a legitimate option. I think it's why the Titans really should try to figure out how they address quarterback, whether it's through the draft or whether it's through a trade during the draft. And if it doesn't work out, like, they're not going to be left with nobody else on the market. Like, that won't happen with the current quarterback situation.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now that you say that, Tim, looking at, you know, the quarterbacks in the draft as well as the quarterbacks in free agency right now, have you ever seen a year like this? Because typically sometimes it's, well, maybe the draft – isn't heavy in quarterbacks. Maybe it has one or two, but at least free agency, we can go to free agency and get some guys that mm-hmm. we know can play. Or it's flip. You know, the draft is littered with quarterbacks, but free agency, the pool is very small. Have you ever seen a year like this?
You know, it's hard for me to recall like a certain year where it was like, because I think you're right. It does feel like there are cycles where it's like, oh, everyone loves the quarterbacks. I'm like, oh, no one loves the quarterbacks coming out. I think I would say it this way, though. Like, I think Cam Ward's a really good prospect. Mm-hmm. I think the kid at Louisville, Tyler Shuck, is a good prospect. I think Kyle McCord is really going to surprise people. I think there are people going to have first-round grade on the kid from Ole Miss. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders is going to be in the mix to be an early pick. So, like, it's not an awful quarterback class, right? Like, it's not. Now, look, just history tells us that if all those guys go in the first round, some of them are going to be busts, and there's a chance that, you know, one or two of them will be good. So, like, in some ways, I think even when it's like a slam dunk, yeah, look at all these great prospects, you know, I think that there are times where it just doesn't work out that way. Look, you go back to a year ago, like, take J.J. McCarthy as the example. Like, a year ago, J.J. McCarthy was, like, rifling up, kind of interest from NFL teams, it seemed. And, you know, I think if we were to sit in February, you know, where people thought of, you know, how they talked about him was probably not as a top 10 pick. And, you know, because he hasn't played, it usually is how it goes. You know, the further you get away from playing, the better you become. You know, that he now is a guy that, you know, everybody should be interested in.
Now, quickly, I'm going to go to the wide receivers right quick for you, Tim, before I pass it over to Willie. Are you surprised that Cincinnati is once again franchising T. Higgins? Because you just felt that last year it went to the end and they end up keeping a tag on him. And you thought this year that they would, you know, just allow him to hit free agency or try to get a trade during the season, and it didn't happen. But now they're putting him on the tag again. Are you surprised that they're doing this?
Yeah, I think my guess is that they're trying to tag and trade mm-hmm. because, you know, by dragging their feet on T. Higgins, you know, it's delayed things with Ja'Marr Chase, and now they got the same situation with Trey Hendrickson. And so, you know, in the process of them taking their time, T. Higgins has proven he's a number one wide receiver. So now he's more expensive than if you would have, you know, extended him a while back before this, you know, came to a head. And then he'd be middle of the road, you know, whatever. He'd be a highly paid receiver, but wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And as you've delayed it, you've also put yourself in this Ja'Marr Chase situation where he's playing it out, and now he's probably going to reset the wide receiver market. And so now you're going to reset the wide receiver market, have another number one guy. Oh, by the way, your best pass rusher, his deal is up. And so it just ends up being like, you know, by delaying it when the guy can play, you're just making everything more expensive. It's basically what I feel like I've talked to you guys about for years about, hey, Washington, when you knew Kirk Cousins could play, pay him rather than playing the franchise tag game because it just ended up being more expensive and then you lost him. Dallas, when you knew Dak could play, pay him rather than pushing it down, giving him the leverage of the franchise tag, because basically when a guy gets tagged, like T. Higgins is like, look, I'm going to make $26 million on a one-year deal and then I'm a free agent. I can – you know, make way more than that. So basically T. Higgins is looking for real guaranteed money over the first 3 years of his next deal, because he's got the benefit of the tag sitting right there. So like the opposite of that is what Philadelphia is doing, is where they identify somebody can play and they lock him up. And that guy might be, you know, paid near the top of his position early on in that contract, but eventually he just paid like, you know, other receivers in the game.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So, Tim, I think you had some discussion on ESPN about Rodgers. And so let's marry that with a Derek Carr, because you hit on the key factor is the financial commitment, right? If you can get into that sweet spot, the ideal thing would be you get good veteran quarterback play without getting in yourself into a huge financial bind. The reason that Carr and Rodgers could be available or are going to be available is because their previous teams dove in and are having to get out of some salary cap issues. It's not that they're awful quarterbacks. So I think you said that Rodgers might be a fit for the Titans. So why would you say Rodgers is a good fit for the Titans? And would you prefer to have him over Carr if the money works out?
I would not. Like, let's just say the money is relatively even. I would prefer Derek Carr.
Okay.
Derek Carr is 33 and Aaron Rodgers is 41, 2 years off of an Achilles. Aaron Rodgers can't move anymore. Aaron Rodgers, I think, has gotten into bad habits because he can't move. So now, like, is Aaron Rodgers terrible? No. I mean, he would have given you better quarterback play than the guys that were, you know, playing last year. He threw like 28 touchdowns and 11 picks, I think, is what Aaron threw. Like, I mean, it's not horrendous. There are guys that are, you know, that can't do that. So I guess what I would say is I prefer Carr. Now, the reason I said Rodgers is this. I don't think Rodgers is going to have choices. Like, where else is Aaron going? And, you know, people are like, oh, Pittsburgh. Like, I don't think he's a fit in Pittsburgh. Look, Russell Wilson's 5 years younger, was there last year and played relatively well for them. Like, Aaron's never been in that offense, and I don't think Aaron's a fit personality-wise or any of that. So I think when the dust settles, like, what is a team that could be a little bit like the Raiders last year, where they missed on the quarterbacks in the draft, right? Because if the Titans don't go quarterback at the very top, like, there's a possibility, like, they don't end up with one. Well, like, would we agree on that?
Yes.
Like, okay. So if that's the case, well, now you're looking for a quarterback. Okay, well, now you are in that realm of like, all right, well, look, I got to win some games or else we're going to all get fired. So who helps us, you know, maybe win 10 games, 9-10 games? Who can do that? And I think that when you get to that point, you are in the Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr business.
So you think the market for Carr, if I'm hearing you right, will be a little bit more than the market for Rodgers. You think Carr will ultimately get paid more than Rodgers and more competition to get him?
I do, and here's why. Bill Polian, I just remember being with him on a bunch of free agencies over time, you know, at ESPN. And he just is like, look, age injury history, like over and over again. Like, it's always what he wanted to bring up and talk about. Like, that mattered. It mattered. And Aaron's 41, and he tore his Achilles. And he basically ruined, not that the Jets were going to be great anyway, but he basically ruined two seasons for the Jets, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of agree with that, because he gets there, he gets hurt, and they stink. And then he comes back this year, and they stink. So, and they've paid him whatever they paid him over that stretch, over $100 million. So, you know, like, and on the hook for more. So, like, there is an element where, like, age and injury history has to be a huge factor. Even if, look, Aaron's been a better player, no question about it. But, like, you're talking about playing 16 games and going into the postseason. Like, that is, I mean, he's 8 years younger than Aaron Rodgers.
So let's go one more about Carr before we let you go. If you look and you take away the teams he's played on, and you just look at his numbers, QBR, quarterback rating, touchdowns to interceptions, pretty steady through the years. Why do you think he hasn't been on more good teams?
Well, I think his injury history has been a bit of a problem. Like he's
because he
with
plays
some
the
stuff.
Games, right? He doesn't miss games. Other than last year, he really hasn't missed many games.
No, I mean, if you look down, you know, his seasons, basically, you know, you other than last year, he's played at least 15 games every season he's been in the NFL. Like, so he's tough and he's competitive. I also think that sometimes these guys find themselves in bad situations. You just think about, like, you know, he's at the Raiders with Gruden. That thing ended up being a disaster. There was a, you know, a player and an awful off-the-field situation. He ends up in jail. Like, the leadership that he showed that season was remarkable. The very next year, they bring in a coach, it doesn't work out, and they essentially, at that point, they put him on ice because they don't want him to get hurt because they think they're going to go get some other quarterbacks in the offseason. So, like, why do I think some of it is? Look, I think he's been really good, and I think he's been in some really bad situations, you know? And yeah. I think there's been some unfortunate circumstances that he's been faced with. So, like, that's the difference between Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins. Like, that's literally the difference. So, you know, at 34 years old, are you getting the best version of Derek Carr? No, you're not. You know, the best version of him was 2021, where he threw for 4,800 yards. You know, like, that's probably the best version of him. But do I think that he could come in and throw, you know, 25 touchdowns and fewer than 10 interceptions? Yeah, I do. I think he could.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on D. Mays, Vingan, and Donick, as he does every Tuesday. Tim, great stuff. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck joining. We'll quickly react to what Tim has to say. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.